Hi, and welcome to our service. If you're new here, you may be wondering who we are and what this church is all about. Well, the heart of the matter is this. We're a group of people doing our best to love God and love those around us. One of the ways we express this love is through worship, because our God is truly amazing. He created everything, great and small, and His love for us is incredible, powerful, and completely unconditional. We also spend time looking into His Word, the Bible, and receive practical teaching to guide us along His path in our everyday lives. But it doesn't end when the service is over. Throughout the week, we gather in groups to serve, pray, reach out to our community, and sometimes just to hang out and have fun. Life is full of challenges, and none of us are perfect. But we believe that's one of the reasons God has brought us together. We're all here to help and support each other through each step of life's journey, because nobody should have to travel alone. So thanks for joining us today. No matter who you are, we want you to know you are welcome.
Hello, His Tabernacle! Are you ready for night two of this stuff? Awesome! I hear like three excited people. I hope people came with expectation to see God move tonight. Why don't you come join me up at the altar? I don't want to worship by myself tonight. Come up here, friends. I am so excited. You know what I love about God? Is that when God is about to make a promise to somebody, or when He's about to perform a miracle, He says what He's already done in the past for His people first. He constantly says throughout the Word of God, remember the God of Israel, Isaac, and Jacob. Remember the God who brought your ancestors out of the wilderness through the Red Sea. So right now, I want you to take a few minutes and I want you to start reminding yourself of the miracles that God has already performed in your life. Because if He's done it once, He'll do it again, amen? If He healed the blind 2,000 years ago, He'll do it today, amen? Hallelujah! Who's got a raised expectation of Him doing something great tonight? Hallelujah! Let's worship together!
Into the darkness you shine.
shout of praise if you believe in your God. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus, you're awesome, Lord. You're so awesome.
You're awesome, Lord. Oh, you're awesome. My God is awesome. He can move mountains, keep me in the valley, hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. Hears me when I'm broken. Strength where
You are awesome. You are awesome. He delivers.
just begin to thank him for who he is. Hallelujah. Jesus, you're Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Jireh. Thank you that in every circumstance, Lord, you are my provider, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that in every situation, you are there. You are my every present help in time of need, Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give you glory. Because of who you are, I give you praise. Because of who you are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship you. Because of who you are.
Come on, sing that with me.
Because of who you are, I give you glory,
Jesus.
Because of who you are, I give you praise.
Because of who you are,
because of who you are. You
I don't know what you sense, but I sense faith in the room. When expectation and faith meet, there's always a supernatural explosion. So I hope you're ready. I hope you came already prepared to receive from Jesus. Amen. Some of you need Jehovah Shalom. Some of you need some peace in your life. Amen. Shout, I already have peace. Amen. You have the Holy Ghost. You don't even need to pray for what you already got. Amen. I want you to know tonight you are healed. I want you to know tonight you are delivered. And tonight I can't wait to see God manifest his love to us. We are so blessed because the presence of Jesus is in this room. And when I walked out here, you could just feel the faith. You could feel, you know, you can feel, you can even see faith. And I want you to know God's got great things for you tonight. I don't know what you came expecting, but I want you to bow your head right now. I want you to start asking him right now. Just start asking him what you're expecting for right now. Just start asking him. You see, if you have no expectation, then you have no reception. What do you want from God tonight? Why are you here? Remember one time I was down in Frederick, Maryland. And I stood up to preach and I could hear in the spirit all the people praying, God, I need this. God, and I finally said, please, will you stop asking God? Because the clamor in the spirit was so loud. I want you to know that God is hearing your prayer right now. God is preparing you to receive. The word is going to elevate your faith to a whole nother level. And then his hands are laid on. As the prophetic is released, you can be guaranteed God's going to bless your life tonight. Are you ready? I said, are you ready? No, I don't know. Are you ready? Where is your expectation level? Are you ready? Jesus, tonight we're ready to receive from you. We're ready, God, to meet with you. God, we've already been around the altar. Lord, letting you know how much we love you. Declaring who you are, not just what you do. And Jesus, tonight we want one thing. We want you to show yourself powerful. God, we want you to show yourself large. God, we want you to show yourself for who you genuinely are. That, Lord, there will not be one person that will leave this room saying, I don't know, man. I just kind of went to church. But tonight, God, we declare that we have been in the presence of God himself. Lord, I thank you that tonight you're going to change our lives. Lord, I thank you that you are going to show yourself powerful. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. In the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus, we thank you for your name. We thank you, God, that your name that was given to us releases heaven on earth. And tonight, we declare the name of Jesus. We are not ashamed. Lord, we just want to say thank you. We're excited what you're going to do. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. When you say amen, it means so be it or I agree. Amen. Here, why don't you tell 5 or 6 folks, I agree. You're going to get your miracle tonight. I agree. I do too. We'll be right back.
Praise the Lord. Tonight we're blessed. As you're watching the meetings grow, they're growing because people's expectation is getting high. God's going to move in powerful ways. We are blessed tonight to have Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr. Could you welcome him with me? Brother Ted Shuttlesworth Jr.
Will somebody give Jesus praise tonight? Praise the Lord. Stand on your feet just one more time if you got a song left in you. How many know God's good? Shout all the time. I don't know if you could do me just a little bit of a favor. Just pull a little in this wedge for me up here of the vocal and keys, because I feel like praising him a little bit before we open the Word of God. I feel like saying, now this is going to be an interactive one. Are you ready for this? Are you ready for some interactive praise? All right, it goes like this. My God is a good God. Yes, he is. Not bad. Let's try it again. Ready? One, two, three. My God is a good God. Oh, my God is a good, good God. All right. My God is a good, good God. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Say, my God is a good, good God. My God is a good, good God. And my God is a good, good God. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he. Come on, clap your hands and say, God is a good, good God. I know my God is a good, good God. My God is a good, good God, yes. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Clap your hands and say, my God is a good, good God. My God is a good, good God. Oh, my God is a good, good God. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Say it like this. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes, he did. He filled me with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Oh, yes, he did. Yes, he did. Come on, clap those hands one time. King power in the blood, come on, of the Lamb. Power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Y'all sound good, come on. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the say there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood. Clap the hands and say there's power, power. Everybody, power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. Yes, there is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood. Come on, say, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Oh, and what can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood. Come on. Oh, precious, oh, precious is the flow that makes me. Oh, yes. No other fount I know. Yes, it's nothing but the blood. I want to hear you say it. Say it. Oh. Well, clap those hands one more time here. Well, I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. If you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. Well, I'm just warming up till I reach the other side. Oh, I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. If you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up till I reach the other side. Come on. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. Oh, if you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up for when I reach the other side. Come on. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. If you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up till I reach the other side. Say that. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. If you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up for when I reach the other side. Oh, I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up. I'm just warming up for that meeting in the sky. If you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up for when I reach. Look, oh, if you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up for when I reach the other side. If you think I'm strange, don't wait for me to change. I'm just warming up for when I reach the other side. If that's you, clap those hands. Yay! Yay! Hallelujah! Come on, somebody lift your hands and give Jesus all the praise. If you're ready to see Jesus when he comes, you ought to give him all the glory tonight, all the praise. There's nobody like Jesus. There's an old hymn when I was growing up. Some of you might remember it, some may not. But it just was very simple about the blood of Jesus. If you're thankful for the blood, would you just lift a hand to heaven? Thankful that you're saved, on your way to heaven. Your sins have been forgiven. No longer who you used to be, but now who God made you to be. And there was a song that just said, I see a crimson stream of blood. Indeed flows from Calvary. Indeed waves which reach the throne of God, they are sweeping over me. indeed flows from Calvary. And its waves which reach the throne of God, they are sweeping over me. Come on, declare that. And I see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary, and its waves which reach the throne of God, they are sweeping over me. I feel that tonight. Come on, declare it again. I see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary, and its waves which reach the throne of God, they are sweeping over me. With every hand lifted high, come on. Say, I see a crimson stream of blood, and it flows from Calvary, and its waves which reach the throne of God, they are sweeping over me. And all the blood of Jesus, come on, single, yes, we're thankful for your blood, the blood of Jesus. Oh, it washes. Come on. I feel the anointing in this house tonight. Would you say, sing, oh, the blood. Hey, the wonderful blood, sing, oh. We're singing, oh. Wonderful blood of Jesus, it washes. Hey, one last time, all over this house, we sing, go. Yes, it is, sing, go. Lift your voice and say, oh, it washes. Come on, it washes. It washes. Yes, it does. Say it again. It washes. Cause you're Jehovah Jireh. Come on. You're my provider. Hey. You're Jehovah Nissi. And Lord, you. Hey. It's Jehovah Shalom. And you're my prince. Lord, I worship you because of who you are. Loud as you can, say that. He's Jehovah. Oh, oh, he's my pro. Yes, he is. He's Jehovah. Lord, you reign. Lord, you. Oh. Jehovah Shah. You're my. Lord, I worship you because of who. Yes, I do. Lord, I worship you because, come on, I worship you, Jesus. It's because of who you are. Father, as we open your word right now, we thank you that your anointing's in this house. You're touching every man and every woman. Our hearts, our minds, our ears, our eyes are open to receive the incorruptible seed of the word of God. Lord, let your word be imprinted upon our hearts tonight. Let us be forever changed. Don't let us leave here the same. Let us leave filled with an impartation of your spirit and of your word. Change every circumstance that the enemy meant for evil. Turn every prayer request into a praise report in Jesus' mighty name. Before tonight comes to an end, give us our answers. We thank you. We give you praise and glory. If you believe it, somebody shout aloud, amen. Before you are seated, tell somebody God's getting ready to do something good for you. Encourage them. Sister Care, Sister Carolyn, Bible. Praise God. Appreciate so much this awesome worship team and all they're doing. Would you give them a hand? Tell them you love them. What a great job. Just stay right with me, Brother Sam, if you would. Play it again, Sam. Revelation chapter 5. I want you to go there quickly. I'm going to show you something right at the outset of this service. It's going to help you to go higher, which is what God wants for every one of us. How many are ready to go higher? Yeah. Amen. So am I. This is a year all of us are going higher in Jesus' name. I want you to look at Revelation 5, and we're going to look at two verses of scripture. The reason I finished on that song, because God is so big. His identity, his personality is so big that you can't figure him out. There's nothing the devil can create to destroy you that the personality of God does not cover and take care of. And so we sang all those covenant names of God. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's provider. Right? He's Jehovah. In fact, if you go through it, I could preach a whole message on the seven redemptive names of God in the Old Testament. And they really dealt with everything that God did for his people. Jehovah Sitkanu, he's their righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, he's their healer. Jehovah Jireh, their provider. Jehovah Shalom, he's their peace. Jehovah Ra, he's their shepherd. You go right down through the list. And everything that the devil tries to do to destroy you, God's got an answer inside his own personality for what the devil has planned to destroy you. But I want you to see this because God has a plan to bless your family. He has a plan to bless you personally. You're a covenant child of the Almighty God. And a covenant transaction with God means that the blessings that he has set aside in your inheritance, they're not just for the body of Christ at large. They're for you personally. Amen. And this is one of my favorite verses and passages of scripture because, you know, there's many people, they don't have a problem telling you Jesus is Savior, but they might stop and start getting tripped up on the fact that he's healer. Not everybody will tell you and believes he's a healer. But he's a healer. But some stop there and they'll never tell you that he's a provider. But you serve a God that's a provider. Even my amen was less loud than the healer amen. They try to get it into our minds and make us feel like, well, that's not part of the gospel, but it's part of the gospel. You know, one of the terms that I don't like to hear ever is when I hear people use the term prosperity gospel. Because there's no such thing as the prosperity gospel. There's just the gospel. Thanks for all the shouts. There's just the gospel. Prosperity is included in the gospel. There's no separate man-made gospel that somebody sat in a back room and made up. It was part of what Jesus did for his children. You can't add to or take away from what Jesus did with his precious blood. And one of the things that's so wonderful is the same blood that destroyed the power of sin and the same blood that destroyed the power of sickness is the same blood that destroyed the power of poverty and lack. Can you shout amen? And see, one of the things I would love for every one of us to get in our spirit, that's why I had you go to Revelation 5, is that there's actually seven things that Jesus died to obtain for you in salvation. Seven redemptive benefits of salvation. And the Bible says that there are angels literally flying around the throne 24/7. God is so great that he must be praised at all times. It's impossible for him to be in any place and not be praised to the fullest. That's why the Bible says if we won't praise him, the very rocks will cry out and the trees will wave their hands. Because you serve a God that's so great that praise is due him everywhere he goes. So you got these angels that are flying around the throne and they're singing night and day. Verse 11 of Revelation 5. Look what it said. Then I looked and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders, the voice of many angels numbering 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. Look at verse 12. Saying with a loud voice. What were they saying about Jesus? Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive. So stop right there and recognize that Jesus' redemptive act of crucifixion was actually a transaction. Jesus died to receive some things. And look what they are, seven of them. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Somebody say seven things. Say it with me. Power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Seven things Jesus' blood purchased on the cross, and it freaks people out because they read that and it almost makes people like take a second, third look. Hold on a second. Does that really say wealth? Some translations say riches. Died to receive power and riches. People say, hold on, that's a misprint. I know I got a wrong Bible here. They misprinted in my Bible. That says wealth, Pastor. That shouldn't be there. Jesus died to receive wealth, to receive riches. That can't be right. People freak out about it, but it's part of the gospel. And catch this. Jesus didn't die to receive these things for himself. Oh, man. Well, wait. Let's just back up to the first one for a second. Power. Jesus died. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power. So are you telling me that Jesus died to receive power for himself? Did he not die? Or are you saying he didn't have power until he died? Wasn't this the same man that raised the dead? Isn't this the same man that cast out devils? Isn't this the same man that healed the leper? Isn't this the same man that opened blind eyes and deaf ears and walked on water and walked through wall? Are you telling me that he had to die to receive power? Or did he already have it? See, he didn't die because he needed it. He died because we needed it. Woo! And he had the ability to say, now I give unto you all power. See, he died to receive it for us. He died to receive what? Power. And then the word comes up next, and wealth. Or one translation says, and riches. People say, well, brother, hallelujah, that means spiritual riches, brother. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's not what it means. If you study it in the Greek language, it's the Greek word pluteo or plutos. It actually means natural wealth and riches. It doesn't mean spiritual riches. It doesn't mean meekness, that he died to buy you meekness. No, it actually means he died and shed his blood to break the curse of poverty and lack off of your life so that what was coming to steal your overflowing blessing is destroyed and sent out of your house by the mighty blood of Jesus and the covenant that you have with Christ. It's exciting to know. See, because if you look, What Jesus really came to do was to restore us to his original intention in the Garden of Eden. When you look at the Garden of Eden, it was God's plan for man.
He made Adam and created Eve, set them in a garden. You know what? There was no lack in the garden. There was no lack in the garden. They weren't in a stage of run out where they were always having to run and get a food stamp to keep going in the garden. They didn't have to eat government cheese and get constipated in the garden. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There was no run out in the Garden of Eden. He had more than enough. Adam had more than enough. He was blessed. He was set there to tend the garden and to watch over the increase that God placed in his life. But what happened? Sin came in through Adam's rebellion. I'm going to give the ladies a chance to shout. It wasn't Eve that messed it up for us. It was Adam, the man. I don't hear any ladies tonight. You know, people always like to blame Eve, like she had the problem, but it wasn't Eve's problem. The Bible said Eve was deceived by the serpent, but it doesn't say Adam was deceived. Adam knew what he was doing and chose to rebel. Oh, my God. In fact, I'm not preaching on marriage tonight, but let me preach to you something that the Bible teaches in the New Testament that people in this generation have a hard time hearing, but that is that God has given the husband to be the head of the home, and the wife is there to be what the Bible calls a helpmeet. It doesn't mean that she's less than him. It just means in any authority lineup, like we preached last night, somebody has to be accountable for what goes right and what goes wrong. If something goes wrong in my house, it's not my wife's fault. She's videoing just to make sure she has a record. She's got her phone out. She's, I got you on video, sucker. I'm gonna take you back to the meeting. If something goes wrong in my house, it's not my wife's fault. It's my fault. Why? I'm the head of the home. So if there's issues in the house, I got to look at how my leadership's going. If I got problems, if there's strife, division, bickering, complaining, fighting, I need to look at how I am leading my home. Because see, the Bible says, wives, everybody loves to quote this verse, wives, submit yourselves to your husband as unto the... But you know what? Keep on reading. Because the Bible said, and husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So Christ, the reason nobody has a hard time submitting to Christ once they get saved, they understand he's got their best interest at heart. If there's a wife who knew that her husband put her above all other things and put the best interest of her life above even his preferences, it's easy to submit to true love. Thanks for all the shout. Ladies, I'm helping you. I need some help in here. It's easy to submit to true love. But understand this, that when there's an issue, when there's a problem, God has given us men authority to run out every wicked thing from our house, to run out unrest in the mind, depression in the mind, anxiety in the house, sickness in the house. Men, you're anointed by the power of God to rise up as the priest of your home and to kick every wicked thing out of the house by the power of the Holy Ghost. You understand? So I don't look for somebody to blame if something's going on. I begin to take stock of my life and say, what am I doing right or wrong that's allowing these things in? And see, you start to understand that there is a submission in the line of authority. Ooh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. There's a submission in the line of authority that brings the blessing and the peace. So in the Garden of Eden, I truly believe this with all my heart. The reason the Bible says sin entered into the world through the first man, Adam, didn't enter in through Eve, entered in through Adam. I honestly believe if he would have just brought his wife aside and corrected her and said, no, we can't do that, God said don't, and she would have repented, it would have restored right back to the thing God created. If the husband had done what he was supposed to do. And see, so there is that place of governance, even in the home, that continues to bring the blessing. I didn't plan on saying this, but let me encourage you with this thought. That's why the devil's after fathers in this generation. That's why the devil hates fathers. He wants us to all be deadbeats and leave the home and never be found to pay child support and, you know, go off running doing our own thing. So that not only does our house get destroyed, but the next generation has no trust for a father. See, because if the devil can screw up the earthly father, then when that child grows up and has to come to a place where he has an understanding of a heavenly father, when he hears father, all he's going to hear is, oh yeah, that's the one that never comes to any of your football games. And that's the one that goes for cigarettes on Christmas Eve, never comes home again. That's the one that mom hired a lawyer to find and he'll never pay child support. That's the one that never buys you Christmas presents. That's the one that never wants to see you. And when they hear father, that's why the devil's trying to screw up father relationships, because he really wants to alienate you from a heavenly father who knows how to bless you and take care of you. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. See, because Jesus said, he said, if earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to their children, he said, you men are earthly, you're natural, you're human. He said, but if your child asks you for a fish, you don't give him a serpent. And if your child asks you for a loaf of bread, you don't give him a stone. He said, even you being earthly and natural, you give good gifts to your kids. You know, when Christmas comes around, it's not just Christian parents buying presents for the kids. All the parents are buying presents. Why? Because even earthly parents can bless their children. But Jesus said, now check this out. If you're imperfect and can love your kids like that, how much more does your heavenly Father know how to give good gifts to them that ask him? That's us. Which shows you that God's desire for you and for me is to give good gifts, hallelujah, to all of his children. Did you know the Bible said in the book of Romans, if Jesus was given to us by God the Father, who, by the way, is the greatest gift he could give, he said if he gave us his precious son, how much more will he not freely give us all things, hallelujah. There's people hung up on whether or not God wants to bless them financially, and they've never even thought about the fact, you think God's got an issue giving you a house or a car or a boat or some money or a raise at your job or your own business after he's already given you Jesus, who's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and had him nailed to a tree, whipped on his back, crown of thorns pulled over his head. If he gave you Jesus, he don't mind you having a house. If he gave you Jesus, he don't mind you having a car. If he gave you Jesus, he doesn't mind you having a boat. He loves you and wants to bless you. Shout amen. Amen. And so the word here said, he died to gain or to receive power and riches. I want you to hear this and say it with me tonight. I'm anointed to be wealthy. Say it again. I'm anointed to be wealthy. There's an anointing on your life through your connection with Jesus to overflow in finances. Woo! Glory to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, the Bible says, speaking of Jesus, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that through his poverty he could make you, what's the word? Say it again.
Rich.
Say it loudly.
Rich.
People get in church, they have a hard time saying rich. No, say it boldly. You know, nobody has a problem saying, I mean, I want you to declare this to me. Say, I am saved.
I am saved.
I'm on my way to heaven.
Jesus is my healer.
He's Jehovah Rapha.
Sickness has no place in me.
Now say this, I am rich
because of the blood of Jesus.
I will not lack
because of my covenant.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Amen.
Just as strong as you declare I'm saved, just as strong as you declare I'm healed, you should stand up and declare I'm wealthy by the blood of Jesus, by the power of the covenant that I have. Though he was rich in heaven, yet for your sakes he became poor. Not when he was born on the cross. Can I just, somebody say, well, hey, brother, Jesus was poor. Didn't have anything, brother. And he was meek and lowly, didn't have a place to lay his head.
Let me just say, when Jesus was born, the Bible says a caravan of wealthy wise men showed up. It wasn't like one black, one white, one Puerto Rican like you see at the nativity scene. One Chinese guy over here, one black guy over here with a beard, and then one white. Didn't say that. They had a caravan of wealthy wise men show up. And you know what the Bible says? They brought unto him from their treasure bags, amplified. Their treasure bags. And brought, you know what's interesting about this? Those men saw a sign in the heavens, which led them to believe he was king. They didn't show up looking for King of Kings, Lord of Lords. That's why Herod got scared. He said, the dude that's being born over here is about to become king and take me off my throne. So let's kill all the boys two and under, because I don't really know which one it is. Let's just kill them all, because I don't want to stop being king. The wise men didn't think King of Kings, Lord of Lords. They thought he's going to rise up and be the king. So you know what they did according to the Bible? They brought bags of treasure fit for a king. And when they showed up where he was, unloaded to him, the Bible says, gold. It wasn't like you see at Christmas time, a tiny little box this big that looked like it was a, you open it up and a ballerina's dancing and a song's playing. That's not what they brought Jesus. They brought Jesus gold fit for a king. Frankincense fit for a king. Myrrh fit for a king. And they emptied unto him, the Bible says, from their treasure bags. In fact, did you know many scholars believe that it was the money that was brought to them by the wise men that they lived on in Egypt while Herod was trying to kill all the boys? And the Bible said Joseph, Mary, and Jesus went into Egypt and began to live there in that other nation until Herod was out of the way. How did they do it? They had the funds, they had the resources, they had the blessing, they had the overflow. They weren't living in hostels, they weren't eating cup of noodles, they weren't scraping by and stealing change out of fountains at the mall so that they could get a double cheeseburger at McDonald's. They had resources. They were wealthy. They had more than enough because they were blessed by the Almighty God. Jesus wasn't poor. I've never met a poor man that had to hire a treasurer to take care of all his money. There was a man on staff that just carried the money bag, the Bible said. Just walked it around. And you know what else the Bible says? He often stole from it. That's for me. One for Jesus, one for me. Two for Jesus, one, two for me. Judas often stole, the Bible says, from the money bag. But find me a scripture in your Bible. Find me one where they went to buy something and Jesus said, hey, where'd all the money go? We had plenty of coin in the money bag. It's gone. Somebody get the adventurers. Find Scooby-Doo to get to the bottom of this mystery. There was never a time. Judas often stole from the money bag and they never ran out of money. You know what? Think about this. You think Jesus really didn't know Judas was stealing? You think the King of Kings was unaware he was being robbed from by one of his own disciples? He knew. You know why I believe he let him keep stealing like that? Because I think it allowed us to see in the Bible that even if the thief's coming after you, he won't be able to steal enough to stop you from doing what you're doing. That you'll have so much excess, so much left over. You can try to steal if you want to, but I got so much in my bank account, you can't steal enough to stop me from where I'm going. Woo! You don't have sticky enough fingers to stop my purpose. Hallelujah. Stole and couldn't stop the master. Hallelujah. You know how I know? Jesus was blessed, man. They said to him one time, his disciples said, Jesus, what are you doing? Well, he said, they said this in the Gospels. They said, where are you staying? You know what he said? Come and see. And they came to his house in Galilee, and the Bible says, and abode with him all day. Didn't say he was at a hotel. Didn't say he was staying with someone. It didn't say that he was, you know, renting. Bible says, he said, you want to see where I live? Come. And they stayed with him, the Bible says, all day at his house. Jesus didn't have a thing, brother. He was meek, lowly. He had nothing. Oh, hallelujah. Foxes have holes. Birds have nests, brother. And then Jesus goes to the cross wearing a garment that was so valuable. They broke the tradition of crucifixion just to take his stuff. You know what the tradition of crucifixion was? Because it was a shameful way to die. They took your clothes and ripped them up if you got crucified. But they saw his stuff. They're like, hold up a sec. Let's just, who's got dice? You got dice? You got dice? Let's roll some dice. I'm getting that jacket. I have never been to downtown New York City, New York, and walked through the slums, been down by the project, seen homeless people on carpet, say, man, he's sleeping, but man, I'd like to get that jacket off of him. A jacket is nice. No. Nobody looks at a poor beggar and looks at their clothes and says, man, I'd like to take that from him. That thing would look good on me. The holes are in just the right places. I love the look. No, Jesus went to the cross with a custom made. How do I know it was custom made? The Bible says it was seamless. If you know what a seam is there for, we buy clothes off the rack, and if it don't fit us exactly right, we go see the tailor. And at the seam, they make alterations, which they can bring it in around the body, they can lengthen the sleeves, they can hem up the pants, but it's all done at the seam. But when you're wearing something that ain't got no seams, it means it was made just for him. It was made just for Jesus. He was going to the cross in a custom-made suit that was so nice that the guards looked at it and said, we ain't tearing that up. We're going to throw some dice and see who gets that jacket. Jesus wasn't some pauper walking around on the earth. And let me tell you why. Because poverty in the Bible is a result of disobedience to the word of God. Read Deuteronomy 28. The Bible said, if you do not obey all that I command you this day, you'll be cursed in the city, cursed in the field, cursed in the storehouse, cursed in the basket, cursed coming in, cursed going out. We like to quote it the other way. But he said, if you're disobedient. But I know about this. Jesus didn't ever sin one day in his life. We didn't serve a disobedient Savior. We served somebody who was so obedient. He was obedient to the test of the cross of Calvary. He said, Lord, if there's any way to let this cup pass from me, let it be another way. But if not, let your will be done. And Jesus could not have been poor because he was never disobedient. He was blessed. Hallelujah. I said he was blessed. So when you read, I just said that so that you, when you read 2 Corinthians 8, 9, so you never have somebody tell you, well, see, the Bible even says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. The question is, when did he become poor? I'll tell you when. Let me ask you this. Did Jesus ever sin? But did he become sin? Bible said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He never sinned, but he became sin. Was Jesus ever sick? Did you ever see Jesus? Just disciples, just gather around me, join hands, and just stretch your hands towards me. I got bronchitis. I don't know if we can make the next meeting. No. Jesus dominated sickness. I said he dominated sickness. Wherever he went, spirits of infirmity would cry out and scream, and he'd say, get out, and they'd have to go. Leprosy couldn't stay. Blindness couldn't stay. Deafness couldn't stay. Even death could not stay because Jesus dominated sickness and disease. He could not be sick because his body was filled with the life-giving spirit of the Holy Ghost. But did he become sickness? The Bible said the sicknesses of the world, our pains, our griefs, our sorrows were laid upon his body, and stripes were taken upon his back, and by his stripes we were healed. He never sinned, but he became sin. He was never sick, but he became sickness. And he was never poor, but he became
poor. When? On the cross. He took poverty of the world onto his body and nailed it to the tree. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. He nailed it to the tree so that you and I could be free, not just from sin, not just from sickness, but from poverty and lack. And then set up a system in which we could have seed time and harvest so that we don't have to be dependent on this world's system in order to be blessed. Let me tell you something. The government's not your source. This economy's not your source. The World Bank is not your source. Stocks and bonds are not your source. Cryptocurrencies are not your source. Your paycheck is not your source. If everything failed tomorrow, you still have a God in heaven who knows how to provide for his children because he's the almighty provider. Woo! See, when you live in the covenant, God knows how to take care of you. Even in the Old Testament, there was no food to be had. But you know what God did for Elijah? He led him right next to the brook called Cherith. Sat him next to the cool waters. And the Bible says he sat there and drank cool water, and then ravens came and brought him morsels of bread and meat. Literally, ravens brought Big Macs to Elijah as he's sitting by the brook. I feel the Holy Ghost on that. Special sauce, two patties. And he's sitting there eating it, blessed by God in a time of famine. Do you know my father and mother, my father and his brothers, they grew up in a pastor's home. Sam, did you leave me? Did the rapture take place? Help me. Play it again, Sam. I feel like Humphrey Bogart over here. In those days when my grandfather was pastoring, the churches that he pastors, back then there was not a big revelation in the body of Christ on the blessing of the Lord. It wasn't taught and preached as much back then. I mean, it was something that, thank God, we received even through the 70s and the 80s. It came into the kingdom of God more and more. But back then, it wasn't as much. And the churches he preached and pastored, they had a motto: Lord, if you'll keep the pastor humble, we'll keep him poor. Amen. And they kept their end of the bargain. Amen. And, I mean, crazy stuff would happen. I mean, really crooked stuff. He'd have a retirement account somewhere, and the board of the church would decide, we're going to take the whole retirement account and pave the parking lot of the church with pastor's retirement. I mean, all kinds of crazy stuff. And so there were times when it got a little bit tight in the family. But I remember hearing them tell a story that one time that they were a little bit tight. They were living in a place, and it was right below a farmhouse. The parsonage of the church was right below a farmhouse. Have you heard me tell this? It'll bless your spirit if you haven't heard it. And my grandmother was at the sink washing dishes one day. And she had four big hungry boys that she had to feed every day, not to mention the big hungry husband. And not only that, her mother lived with them at the time. We called her Grammy Crawford. My Grammy, she's my great grandmother. She was an Irish woman, about 4'6". And if she cleaned your ears as a young boy, she was the cleanest woman I'd ever met. She could take a washcloth and use it like a weapon. She cleaned behind my ears one time as a young boy, cleaned away the first two layers of dirt and the next six layers of skin. It was an unbelievable thing. I mean, so clean. And you talk about a woman with a testimony. When she had my grandmother and she was just a little girl, her husband left her because she got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. He said, I ain't living with no Holy Ghost-filled woman, and left her and his daughter. And she had nothing. He'd come by in his convertible with women in the car, drunk, say, hey, you're not going to go out dancing with us, not going to go out party, and mock her from the parking lot. And this is a woman that never lost her joy. Grammy Crawford, she never lost her joy. Every time I'd go up to visit her up in northern Maine, she'd be in there vacuuming the rugs, a little 4-foot Irish woman, and she'd be singing. Every time I'd come in the house, she'd be singing something uplifting. Certain songs, I didn't even know they weren't gospel songs. She made them sound gospel. I'd come in sometimes. There was an old World War II song they used to sing. Pack up your troubles in your old kit bag and smile, smile. I thought it was gospel. I didn't know. Till years later, it was something from the war.
but she'd be singing, "Oh, say, but I'm glad. Jesus has come and my cup's overrun." She didn't have depression. She didn't have anxiety. She just kept on praising God, kept on praising God, and was more and more blessed throughout her life. Now they're living in this parsonage, and she's living with my grandparents, helping take care of the boys. And it was a tight time in the family. And my grandmother had been praying. She's at the sink, and she's washing dishes. And all of a sudden, she looks at the hill, and here comes a whole line of chickens. Comes walking right down the hill into the property of the parsonage. And they had a little shed on the parsonage property, and all those chickens walked down from the farm, walked into the shed, stayed in for about 10 minutes, and walked right out in a straight line right back up to the farm. Well, she went out into the shed. They had laid a whole pile of eggs in the shed. She took a little basket, put them in. My grandmother's no thief, neither's my grandfather. She said, "Go let the farmer know his chickens just came down and laid eggs in our shed and take their eggs back to him." And when they went to tell them, they said, "Your chickens came down and laid eggs in our shed." They said, "You talking about our chickens?" They said, "Man, we ain't been able to get those chickens to lay eggs. We've done everything we know. They won't lay. We can't get them to lay." "Hey, if they laid for you, they're your eggs." And gave them to my grandmother and her family. She brought the whole eggs back down to the house, cooked them up. Well, it wasn't but next week, here come the chickens again. Right down the hill. Right into the shed. And went in there, laid eggs, and went right back up the hill. Hallelujah. Went back, there was eggs again. And she was blessed. And God would send those chickens down the hill and right into the shed, drop some eggs for breakfast, and head right back to where they came from. And it came to a time where they moved away to take another church and then came back to visit. They said, "Let's go see them and talk to them, see how they're doing." And do you know when they went to talk to them again, they said, "Hey, whatever happened to those chickens?" They said, "Do you know that those chickens never laid eggs again after you left here? That they never came down the hill, never went back into the shed again?" I'm telling you, God can provide for his children. He'll find a way to provide for you. He'll find a way to bless you. He'll find a way to bring overflow into your life. But I want you to declare it by faith tonight. I'm anointed to be wealthy. Hallelujah. I'm anointed to be wealthy. And see what God does. He always does this. He puts an opportunity in front of his children and tells them what he wants them to do. And see, that opportunity is our entrance into our overflow. See, because if it was automatic, then every believer in the body of Christ would be overflowing financially. If it was just something that automatically took place. But it always takes obedience to our instruction from God. I'll tell you this, and then we'll move forward. But I was in Maine preaching a revival. And as I was preaching, my friend might be watching tonight. I was in the revival preaching, and I was taking the offering. And as I was, I look over and see my friend. He's out about six rows back, and his face is beet red. He is weeping. I thought, man, I'm feeling pretty good. I didn't know it was that good of a preacher. Hallelujah. He's weeping. I mean, just tears flowing down. I said, "Stand up." He stood up. And I said, "Let me give you a word from the Holy Ghost." I said, "The Lord tells me that you're about to be abundantly blessed in your business." And I said, "I've never said anything like this to anyone before. But I hear the Lord say to you, you're going to be home for dinner." That was the word he got. Now, I've never said that to one person in my life. But I said, "The Lord tells me you're going to be blessed and you'll be home for dinner." Well, the Lord had been speaking to him. He had a desire to start his own business. He was a construction worker. And he said, "I went to my boss and told him I want to start my own business. My boss told me this is not the time to start your own, to branch off. There's not enough work going around even in the county, even in this area." He said, "You should just stay where you're at with me." And he said, "But I felt to start my own. So I started putting money aside in a savings account to start my own company, get my own tools, do my own thing." He said, "But as I was sitting there, the Lord started dealing with my heart to sow all the money that I had saved into the kingdom of God as a step of faith." He said, "When I went to my boss," now I didn't know this stuff till later. He said, "When I went to tell my boss I wanted to start my own business," he said, "there's not enough business around here. So if you want to get business, you're probably going to have to go south into southern Maine. And then you probably have to go out of the state and stay out for a few days to get jobs. Because up here, there's not much going."
And he said, you've got a young family, young kids. You probably want to be home with your family. He said, so you probably shouldn't branch off right now. But the Lord called him out and said, you're going to not only be blessed, but you'll be home for dinner. Hallelujah. That means you won't have to travel through and other states and stay out of state. Well, he went home and got that money and got a checkbook from the savings account and sowed that seed, everything he'd saved, into the kingdom of God. I came back the very next year, and he came in with a big smile on his face. He said, I got to give you a testimony about what God's done for me. I said, tell me. He said, do you know when I branched off and started my own company? He said, I had so much work coming in. I couldn't even believe it. He said, work from everywhere around the county. He said, I had so much work just in town. He said, I never had to leave town. And he said, just like the Lord said, every night I was home for dinner. Hallelujah. He said, I got to see my kids every night. He said, so I kept on working, kept on getting jobs more and more. He said, then all of a sudden I get a call on my phone. He said, it's my old boss. He said, man, he said, work's a little slow over here at the business. He said, you got any extra work you could throw my way? He said, so yesterday I just contracted my old boss to come work for me. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God knows how to provide for his children. And God's got a plan to bless you. Somebody shout, he has a plan to bless my life. What does it take? It always takes obedience to an instruction from the Lord. And see, that's why. Now tonight, I'm going to minister to people at the end of this service. There's a move of the Holy Ghost that's hitting this place. I'm telling you, as Pastor said, I felt faith rise up in this house tonight. Something's going to happen for every one of us. We're not leaving here the same. There's an outpouring of the Holy Ghost that's hitting his tabernacle. This is a God-ordained meeting that we're here this week because something's ramping up for the next level of this house. This church will soon be too small to hold what God's going to do. You say, well, it already is too small. No, I'm telling you, two services won't suffice because you won't be able to fit the souls into the house. But what it's going to take is a fresh move of the Holy Ghost that's going to hit every one of us. So this is the reason we're going to take the end of this service at the end to lay hands on people and minister as the Holy Spirit leads. But I'm telling you, the Lord put in my belly on the way over here tonight in my spirit that God has a plan not just to take you spiritually to another level, but God's going to take the resources of this house to another level. And the people that are sitting here, Sierra, I don't know if you don't mind, I hope, me sharing your testimony. Come. I want to just show you how God's doing this. This is just the beginning. I called her out. Was it last night? And I told you that God's going to begin to give you open doors, ideas, and that your business would be abundantly blessed. Already, was this morning? Yep. Tell what happened.
Actually, last night. So by the time that I got home and the time that I went to bed at like 11:30, I would say about $9,000 to $9,500 worth of like business came in emails.
Just that quick. Praise God. Just that fast. Before she went to bed. See, when God's ready to move on you, it's time to move. And see, what it's going to take to go to the next level is that if we've got to have the resources to do what God's calling us to do. God doesn't want you staying in a place where you're going from need to need, crisis to crisis, issue to issue, trying to figure out how to get out from under the weight of debt, how to get your bills paid. God wants to put all that behind you. He doesn't want you going week to week. He's getting ready to take you into the overflow by the power of his Spirit. This house is not just going to be a house of the move of God. This is going to be a house that is abundantly blessed. I'm not talking about just the ministry. I'm talking about the people that attend the church. People are going to say, well, I know that church. That's the church where everybody's wealthy. That's the church where everybody's got their bills paid. That's the church where there's no debt. That's the church where debt got canceled. That's the church where student loans got moved out of the way. That's the church where they clipped up all the credit cards. That's the church where cars were paid off, houses were paid off. That's the church where they are overwhelmingly blessed. I'd jump on it if I were you, because I'm talking about your house. I'm talking about your children. I'm talking about your business. I'm talking about your finances. We're getting ready to go to another level by the power of God. Somebody shout aloud, amen. Woo! Declare, I'm anointed. To be wealthy. Praise God. I said praise God. And let me just encourage you. Don't ever be ashamed of the fact you're blessed. Woo! I said don't ever be ashamed about the fact you're blessed. Because let me tell you. You can be seated for a second. Let me tell you. People will try to make you feel ashamed. Must be nice to have that brand new car. You know what you need to respond? It's very nice. Seats don't smell like smoke. Smells like new leather. It's beautiful. Don't have to work on the engine every 3 weeks. It's wonderful to have a new car. I love it. Would you like to take it for a test drive? Must be nice to live in that new house. Very nice. Got to pick out everything I wanted when I built it. It was gorgeous. Wife loves it. Plenty of room for all of our stuff. It's wonderful. People with a spirit of religion will try to make you feel bad that God blessed you. And it's crazy. I said it's crazy. Isn't it funny that as Christians, we always have to try to come up with some kind of an excuse as to why we got blessed? Oh, see, you got a new truck. Well, I know somebody over at the dealership, and we were able to get it at cost, and it was really just a blessing. I was able to trade several things. Then we had a little money stashed away, and I don't know. Why are you explaining away the blessing of the Lord? Why do we have to feel bad that we serve a God who's more than enough, that knows how to pour into our lives? Hallelujah. You should expect blessings to show up at your door. I said you should expect. Do you know what your promise is? Your promise is if you'll give, it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall he cause men and women to give into your bosom. Do you know why I like that verse of scripture, Luke 6:38? Because it doesn't say Christian men and women. It just says men and women, which means people that aren't even serving the Lord, they might not even like you. I'm looking forward to those kind of blessings. When a dude shows up on my doorstep, rings my doorbell and says, hey, I don't know why I'm doing this, but I got to write you this check and I never want to hear from you again after the, say, baby, write it, write the check. Never want to hear from you again after I give you this money. You understand? Yes, I hear you. Give me the money. You know, the wealth of the wicked's laid up for the just. Why is it that the wicked can get blessed and nobody does a story on them on Good Morning America? But the moment that Christians start getting blessed, everybody gets bent out of shape. Well, why does he have that for? So what's going on over there? I don't know why. Why is Pastor Mike riding that motorcycle everywhere? It seems like a beautiful bike. I don't know why he's got that bike. I don't know if a pastor should have a motorcycle that nice, to be honest with you. I don't know what's going on. And let them yap and yap and yap and yap. They didn't start your blessing, so they can't stop your blessing. You didn't start me, so you can't stop me. I said you didn't start me, so you can't stop me. See, because here's the thing. If God wants me blessed, I'll be blessed. If my life's displeasing to him, I won't be blessed. But if I've pleased him, he'll bless me, and nobody can stop it. Because if God be for you, who can be against you? I said, who can be against you? The wealth of the wicked laid up for you. Say, for me. You say, well, Brother Ted, you don't really mean that. You wouldn't take drug money. Let me tell you something. You have a drug dealer come here tonight and bring me down just to try to like put it in my face like I wouldn't really do it and bring me down a stack of $100 bills. Buddy, I blow the cocaine off the top of it, put it in my pocket, preach the gospel with it. Because when he had it, it was drug money. When I got it, it's gospel money. Money's money. It just is what you call it and how you use it. You can't stop the blessing of God that's coming on the people of God. Devil, you better look out, because we're coming with the blessings of heaven. Thank you very much, Enrique. Blessed, not cursed. I said blessed,
not cursed. Now I think about this. They might be watching tonight. If they are, thank you again. I had a family, good friends of Carolyn of mine, but they had a brother-in-law that was like a multi-millionaire who went missing. People thought there was foul play involved. He was involved in a bunch of shady stuff. Nobody knows really what happened, but had all kind of money and stuff left behind, and they declared him legally dead. He's been gone for so many years. Never found him. He's out somewhere. Maybe he got away. He's on some side of the world, you know, some Swiss bank account. Who knows? But they come down the stairs. I've never met the guy a day in my life. They looked at me one day. They said, "What size shoe are you?" I said, "Boom." Told them what I was. They said, "You know, he was about your size and came walking down the stairs." They said, "You know, he never wore these, but we had them in our house. Here's a pair of his dress shoes that he never wore. Think they're your size. They're Louis Vuitton. Would you like them?" I said, "Would I like them? They're already mine, baby. I took them. I'm sitting around, and he didn't serve the Lord. He's out doing who knows what, drug. I don't know what he was doing. But guess what? He bought Louis Vuitton shoes that I didn't buy, but I'm walking around him by the power of the Holy Ghost, because the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the just. Let them build up and hoard. Keep on building. Keep on hoarding. Keep on stacking. Take care of it, because it's all coming to us in the mighty name of Jesus Christ." Woo! Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, it's coming to you in Jesus' name. I said, it's coming to you in Jesus' name. It's coming to you in Jesus' name. I got a pastor friend in North Carolina. He's had $980,000 of debt canceled for his people in their church. Canceled. Phone calls coming in. "You know what? We're just going to go ahead and cancel this hospital debt, cancel this credit card debt, cancel this student loan debt." And by the time 1 year was done in his congregation, almost $1 million of debt wiped by the power of God. Don't tell me that we don't serve a God who's a provider that can do what you need him to do. He's a God that loves you, that wants to take care of you. He's got a plan to bless you, and your children will be blessed, and your grandchildren will be blessed, and head and shoulders above the rest. It's not your story for your kids to have to go to school and get made fun of because they got shoes on with no logo on them. I went to school with a kid. He came to the bus stop with a brand new pair of shoes, white as white could be. We searched them shoes up and down. Didn't have one. I said, "Who makes those shoes?" He took them off. He said, "It just says shoe inside." I said, the brand of the shoe was shoe. And what our kids have to go to school with hand-me-downs, clothes that came out 19 years ago that don't even fit, 19 patches sewed on the jeans. It's getting quiet now. Those are our kids, covenant kids, children of the King. Head and shoulders above the rest is their story. Oh, man, you got to get this, because you're not called to struggle. I said you're not called to struggle. If I hear one more preacher get on television and talk about how God's prepared a struggle for you so he can humble you and make you feel like you're more dependent on him, that ain't in the word, baby. God doesn't cause you to struggle with things he's already redeemed you from. God's not a mental patient. God's not schizophrenic. God's got a blessing provided for you, and he's going to take you higher. And before 2019 comes to an end, you're going to another level in Jesus. Mighty name. Woo! Hallelujah. Somebody declare with me, the struggle is over. Woo! Say it again, the struggle is over. Don't go on Facebook anymore. Hashtag the struggle's real. Brother, the struggle is real. Stop all that. The struggle is over in Jesus' name. Struggle is over. You're not called to struggle. You're called to be the head, not the tail. Above, not beneath. Blessed when I come in. Blessed when I go out. Blessed in the city. Blessed in the field. That's talking about horse heads. That's the field. It ain't the city. That's the field. You don't have to move closer to a city to get opportunities. You don't have to move closer to where there's more jobs available, more contracts available. You serve a God who's a provider. He'll provide something for you right where He called you. You don't have to run halfway around the world to get your blessing to work. You're not just blessed in the city. You're blessed in the field. You can sit right here in the middle of nowhere and overflow with the best of the best. Woo. The Bible said that you'll be so blessed that it'll make wicked people mad. That's the kind of blessed I want to be. Let me finish with this. Go to Psalm 112. This is your story. How many are ready to go to another level? How many are ready for some debts to be canceled? Student loans to be canceled? It is a racket in America. Let me tell you something. It's a racket. People go to college and have to get student loans. Got to work till they're 45 or 50 just to pay off student loans before they can start making money for their own family. It's a racket. And now degrees aren't even helping you get a job like they used to. And people are struggling to even find jobs and having to pay off. It's a racket. I'm talking about crooked stuff going on to keep people in a place of not enough. But I'll tell you, God will give you a divine idea to start your own business, and you'll be blessed head and shoulders above the rest. You'll be able to sit at your house, in your kitchen, on a laptop computer, and do business all over the United States by the internet, sell stuff online. God will give you ideas, and you'll overflow, and you'll laugh all the way to the bank. Or all the way to the PayPal deposit. Which way you take it, it doesn't matter to me. But God has a plan to bless you and cause you to overflow. The Bible said in Psalm 112, verse 1, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in His commandments. So see that right at the top? It's the commandments of God that bring the blessing of God. And His offspring will be mighty in the land. Somebody say, my offspring. Say it the way we say it. My kids will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Your kids are not called to struggle either. Not just you, your kids won't struggle. Your grandkids won't struggle. The generation of the upright will be blessed because God's got a plan to bless you. And the Bible says, wealth and riches are in His house. I said, wealth and riches are in His house. Not in somebody else's house. Hear this. Your testimony does not have to be, well, we were able to connect with a wealthy family and they were able to take us on a really nice vacation because it was really nice that they had extra tickets for. That ain't your story. You're going to be the wealthy family that provides vacation for somebody else. You're not called to mooch off somebody else's increase. God didn't tell Abraham, I'll bless you by hooking you up with several wealthy people and they'll be able to take you through your covenant with me and make sure your bills are paid. He said, I'll bless you and I'll make you a blessing, and everywhere you go, people will come to you looking for a blessing. That's your story in Jesus' name, is that you're not just going to pay your bills, you're going to pay somebody else's bills. You're not just going to bless your children, you're going to bless somebody else's children. Hear what I'm saying tonight. You're not just going to provide Christmas for your house. You'll provide Christmas for somebody else. You'll buy presents for somebody else. You'll buy dinner for somebody else. You'll buy Thanksgiving for somebody else. You'll be so blessed, others will catch the overflow. I'm not just believing for my kids to eat. We're feeding hundreds of kids a day from the overflow. You notice, I haven't had to come in here one night and put pictures of skinny kids with flies on their face on the monitors. Say, well, we're really reaching the kid. Look at him. Look how hungry he is. $1 a day could really feed this kid. I haven't mentioned it one time till now just to let you know God's blessing those children from my overflow. I'm not just believing for my kids. We're feeding kids all over the world. It doesn't have to be a banner in the lobby. See these kids? Help us with these kids. They're going to be blessed. We're going to feed those kids. You know why? It's part of the covenant. I said it's part of the covenant. I said it's part of the covenant. Wealth and riches will be in whose house? Whose house? Say it again. It'll be in your house. Not somebody else's house that you have to knock on the door and try to get a cup of sugar. Yeah, we're all out of sugar. Y'all got any extra sugar over here? We were about to make some Kool-Aid. You ain't got no sugar. And I didn't want my kids just drinking great water, so you got some Kool-Aid? I mean, that's how some people, see, people are always missing something. You ever been to those houses? Always missing something. Peanut butter, no jelly. Kool-Aid, no sugar. Ham, no burger. You know what I'm talking about? Always missing something. That's a poverty mentality. Always empty in the cupboard. Hey, what we got to eat tonight? Nothing. You better make something yourself. You won't eat something. We ain't got nothing. Poverty mentality. I said it's poverty mentality. It's not your story in Jesus' name. Wealth and riches will be in your house. I said wealth and feel a Holy Ghost in here. Listen to me. I was sitting on my couch. Remember this? We were recording a video for YouTube. And I'm sitting on the couch in our house. I like how God does this just to prove a point. I'm sitting there teaching into a camera about how God will bring overflow and blessing, and He'll send people to bless you. While I'm trying to record my video in the living room, my doorbell starts ringing. I had to stop the recording to go out to the door to see who was there. Carolyn's like, who in the world? Who is this? I go out to the door, open it. There's my neighbor from across the street. He said, listen to me, Ted. He said, a guy just drove by our house. Guy had a whole truck full of extra seafood and steaks. And so because his company had extra, he was just selling them house to house. And he gave us all these deals. He said, we got T-bones, we got fillets, we got New York strip, we got ribeye, then we got hot dogs and hamburgers, then we got crab cakes, and we got crab. And he's starting to show me all these boxes of seafood and meat. He said, the dude told me that if I would buy them, he'd give me a deal. But if I would buy double, he'd cut me a half off deal. He said, so I bought two of everything, and we ain't got freezer space at my house, Brother Ted. He said, could you just take the other half? And I said, can I take the other half? I said, baby, I'm taking the other half. We filled up the freezer, hamburgers. We had hot dogs. We had crab cakes. We had filet mignon, or as I call it, filet mignon. We had ribeye steaks. We had strip steaks. I had going, anytime I was hungry, we didn't run to the grocery store. I said, just go check in the freezer in the garage. We got steaks for days. We got crab for days. We got hamburger for days. I didn't do nothing but sit on my couch and tell people God is a good God. He loves you. He wants to bless you. He's sending people to bless you. And the knock was at my door. I'm telling you, get ready to go to the next level. God's got a plan. Wealth and riches will be in His house. Whose house? Whose house? My house. Amen. Say, well, brother, I don't want to seem prideful. It ain't. It's not prideful. It's receiving the covenant. Your hands didn't do it. God's hands did it. I said, God's hands did it. Wealth and riches will be in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Woo. Let me go down with you. Verse 9, the righteous, He has distributed freely. You know why He can distribute freely? Because He's got no needs or lacks. I don't have to claw to every nickel and every dime and every quarter because I got my own problems, brother. I got my own issues, brother. I can't be giving you. You ever heard this? Well, man, if I could, I would. I got, but I can't, right? We just aren't able to do it. That'll not be your story. If I could, I would. You'll have more than enough. You'll be a blessing. And the Bible says He'll distribute freely, and He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn is exalted in honor. God's going to honor you. Now look at this. I'll finish with verse 10. The wicked man will see it and get angry. And I love this. And he gnashes his teeth and melts away. The desire of the wicked will perish. You know what that means? That's literal. That ain't metaphorical. Like, what are they going to metaphorically grind their teeth? It means wicked people will see God's people getting blessed and sit in their house and stew about it. I don't know how he has that truck. I don't understand why she is so blessed. They'll literally grind their teeth in anger because you're going to get the overflow. Let the wicked people rage. That's what I want. I want people with an antichrist agenda to get shook up by how blessed you're about to get. To sit around and just stare. I don't understand. Grind them to the nubs, baby, because I ain't stopping. I'm going to get more blessed than this before it's over. Let me just explain something to you that'll help you too to understand where you're headed. Have you ever been on a road and you get down there and it's like a backup of traffic and you're sitting there like, man, what? And you're sitting there for 20 minutes and you think there's got to be the nastiest wreck anybody's seen up here on the road. When I pass this thing, it's going to be nasty. And you get up there and all it is some dude changing his tire. You ever seen that? And you're up there and he's just and because every person on the road had to slow down and make sure he knew how to change a tire. Let's just make sure he's doing well. I wouldn't do it that way. I'd crank it up a little higher if I would. What happened? You had rubberneck drivers. You know what I mean? Snapping that ground. Slowed the whole flow of traffic down because the dude had to change his tire. What I'm telling you is that God's getting ready to put you in a place of what we're going to call a rubberneck blessing. That when people see what's going on in your life, they'll have to slow down and take a look at everything God's getting ready to do for you. You're getting ready to stop some traffic. There's going to be a traffic jam in front of your house as people stop to see what God's doing in your life. Lift your hands to heaven and declare, I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm above. I'm not beneath. Bless coming in. Bless going out. In the city. In the field. Whatever my hand touches, wherever my foot treads, I am blessed. I am blessed. I am blessed. Now shout if you believe it tonight. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. You are blessed. I said you are blessed. You are blessed. See, the blessing is a pronouncement. It's not wealth and riches. That's the result of the blessing. The blessing is when God says, I declare you blessed. Once you get blessed, wealth and riches must follow. Whew. God's pronouncing his blessing over you. You know, people say, oh, brother, if I could just get a little more blessed. Let me give you a scripture, Ephesians 1:3. Now you've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In fact, I'll say it this way, there ain't no more blessings to be blessed with. But see, tonight, before I pray for anybody, and you don't have to sow any kind of seed for me to pray for you. I'm going to pray for everybody. But this is for you. This is for your house. This is for your benefit. See, God gave us the system of seed time and harvest to take us higher. It's for us. And so when we obey an instruction from the Lord, it is determining where our heart lies and what God can do for us next. And one of the things that I've made up in my mind, as you've heard me say, is that when I take a step of faith for God, when I honor his kingdom by sowing a seed, I always do something that stretches my faith. Because, see, it is my faith that has to work to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So this is the reason that I never give without praying first. I could just come up with something in my mind and say, I'm just going to do that. But the reason I pray first is because I want to hear the Holy Ghost say to me, if you want to go where I've created a place for you to be, then do this. And he gives me an instruction. It's so awesome to have an anointed wife, because there were years, like 10, 12 years, where I was behind a keyboard at every offering time in the church. She'd be in the pew, I'd be behind the keyboard. So we couldn't sit together and say, what do you feel to give? What do you feel to give? But I'd get a number in my spirit on the platform. She'd get a number in her spirit on the pew or the chair. And do you know that whether we would text each other or whether we talk at home, the Lord would always put in our spirit the same number. That's unity. And the same. And let me tell you, if there was ever a time, because there were a few times, that their numbers were different, many times it was hers that was bigger because her faith jumped out. And you know what I said? I believe you. Hallelujah. Let's just do what the Lord tells you to do. Because what you understand is this. God always gives you an instruction to help you, not to hurt you. And I'll tell you this. We're going at his tab to another place. We're going to another place. Can I give you, this helps you to understand this. What vision you connect to determines the blessing that'll be in your life. The vision you connect to determines the blessing that'll be in your life. You understand this, that what God does for this house, he does for those connected to this house. And so God has a plan to put his blessing financially on the people that are dedicated to this house. And that's all part of the covenant where you're tied in. But see, I'm going to tell you something that might blow some of your minds. But see, all blessing comes with a level of persecution. As I said before, there's always people that want to hammer you because you're blessed. I'll take the persecution because I'm taking the blessing. I want to be known. If I was living in this area, if I was a member of his tab, I would walk through town and say, here comes that his tab member. Got his new car over there. Thinks he that now down there at that cult. Got that point on top of the church. You know, talking about the cult. I'll take it. Say what you want to say, baby, but I'm going to overflow because I know God's the only one that can bring increase. And if I'm increasing, it ain't because the devil blessed me. It's because God blessed me. And they might let them say what they want to say. Let them say. But let me tell you, people that are connected to his tab are going to be the ones with resource in the community. People that are connected to his tab are going to be the ones that have influence in the community. It is your business that's going to thrive. It is your house that will grow. It's going to be your finances that will prosper. For what you make happen for God's house, God will make happen for your house. So I prophesy to you, get ready for the increase of heaven to come upon your life. This is your season of blessing. You say, Brother Ted, what do you mean it's my season of blessing? You can be blessed in every season of life. But when I say it's your season, it means there's an instruction coming to you. When God gives you an instruction, it starts a new season of blessing. And the Bible says in Psalm chapter 1, it said the godly will be like trees planted by a river of water that bear fruit in every season. So I want you to say this by faith. Every season is my season. Say it again. Every season is my season to be blessed. I want you to bow your heads all over this house as the worship team's coming back. We're going to pray. That's what we always do. We pray because the Holy Spirit is our guide. He has an avenue to the next level for us. He's like heaven's GPS. He knows the quickest route to our next blessing. That's why we've got to hear him. So we pray, Father, in Jesus' name, speak to every man. Speak to every woman. Give them an instruction from heaven tonight as to what you'd have them sow into the kingdom of God. Let this be a night of overflow for God's people. We thank you. You're taking this church to the next level, taking this church to the next dimension. So, Lord, I thank you because that's the case. You're also taking your people to the next level, taking your people to the next dimension. Let tonight be a night that sparks such a heavy increase in our lives that it will be clearly visible to any onlooker that you have increased us dramatically. We thank you for it. And we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. Here's what I want you to do. Take one of those envelopes in your hand that says green. It's a green one that says seed offering on it. And I want you to do what the Lord begins to instruct you by His Spirit. You can, if you're giving by check tonight, please make the check payable to the church. His tab right on the check. You can give by debit or credit card or cash, however you'd like to do it. But hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and do what He's telling you to do. This is the way to be blessed. It's what the mother of Jesus told the servants at the wedding in John chapter 2. She said, whatever He tells you to do, do it. That's the key to being blessed by God. Whatever He tells you to do, do it. I know people are going to be stepping out in faith tonight to do something that maybe you've never done before. But see, that's because the Holy Spirit has sparked your heart and confirmed to your spirit that you're getting ready to go into a place of complete overflow. That whatever struggle you struggle with before tonight is come to an end in Jesus' name. The struggle is over in Jesus' name. It is over in Jesus' name. That moment of trying to break through a glass ceiling that your head could never get through to the next place, it is breaking through for you in Jesus' name. This is part of what this week is about, because see, God doesn't want you to just be revitalized in your spirit, but still be in a place where you struggle in the natural. He wants you to have a breakthrough in the natural and the supernatural, so that you have not only a spiritual ability to bless, a natural ability to be blessed and to bless others. And tonight's going to be a night of, I call it a springboard. We're springboarding into the next place. I get excited to see God's people blessed. You know what's a sign of a spiritual person? A sign of a spiritual person is when they can see someone else getting blessed and get excited with them. And I say, well, I don't know why God didn't do that for me. No, rejoice with them. And if you can rejoice with them, God will do it for you. I get excited when God blesses His people. I do not get upset. I say, well, God, why didn't you do that? No, I want to see God's people. Do you know the man that pastors the largest church in the world? Pastors 500,000 a Sunday in five services. 500,000. He prayed a prayer to God. You know what he prayed? He said, Lord, if you won't bless my people, do not bless me. That's what he prayed to God. He said, God, if you won't bless my people, do not bless me, because I want to see them blessed. That's the heart of a shepherd. That's the heart of a shepherd. If you won't bless my people, don't bless me. And God's going to bless His people. Somebody shout, that's me. In Jesus' name. The struggle is over. The struggle is over. The hardship is over. See, that's what the obedience to God's word does. It removes the struggle. Do you know Jesus said this? My yoke is easy. My burden is light. That's the key. When you obey the word, the burden is lifted off your shoulders, and the yoke from around your neck, and the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. Just giving you a moment. If you're still making out your offering, take a moment and do it. If you're ready to sow, I want you to stand on your feet. Here's what we're going to do. I was praying today in my hotel room for you. I often don't know what the Holy Spirit's going to say. I really don't. I have no notes to preach from. I just say whatever the Holy Spirit wants to say. But I did know this, that tonight when I came, there's going to be an outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And you don't have to sow any seed for me to pray for you tonight. It's not, you can't buy a blessing from God. I'll pray for every last person in this room until every person has had hands laid upon them. But I want you to hear this. We're not just going to another level financially tonight, but God's getting ready to pour a new fire into your spirit tonight. And here's how we're going to end this service, because the Lord said to me this, I want you to lay hands on every person in that church tonight and impart a new fire of the Holy Ghost into their spirit and into their belly. Now, let me read that text to you one more time. The angels said, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Now, one of the two things that I want to focus on from those seven as we get ready to lay hands on you tonight are these two. that tonight I'm asking God to release unto you a new level of his power and a new level of his glory. I was in South Africa, Pastor. I'd never heard this before. I was standing with a mighty man of God by the name of Pastor Nicky van der Westhuizen. I know that's a mouthful. Pastor Nicky van der Westhuizen. He was preaching. He said something that I'd never heard before. He said, there's two levels you can walk in as you minister for God. He said, you can operate in the anointing. He said, but when you operate in the anointing, it's you working for God. He said, you can, and you know this very well, and so does everyone that's ministered for God. When you operate in the anointing, the power of God flows through you, but it will wear your body out. And you can feel, Jesus, that I felt virtue go out of me. And Jesus, many times after he did things for God, he was ministered to by angels. But notice this, there's another level. He said, you can operate in the anointing or you can operate in the glory of God. He said, when you operate in the anointing, you're working for God. But when you operate in the glory, God's working on your behalf. It doesn't take all kinds of extra effort for you to go out and do it. And you just begin to stand in the glory of God and God begins to work. God said, just go ahead and play your harps and play, blow the horns and just march. All I want you to do is walk and play your instrument. And as you do, the Bible said the glory of God went out ahead of the army and caused confusion in the camp of their enemy. And the enemy killed each other to the point when God's people got there, all their enemies were dead on the ground. They didn't have to swing one sword, hold up one shield, throw one spear. The glory of God went ahead of them and fought their battle for them. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, this is what I'm asking God tonight. I'm asking God to give you a new level of power in the Holy Ghost and a new level of his glory on your life. To where that by the time you get to where the conflict is already over. Because angels went ahead of you and fought your battle for you. And all you have to do, I feel like running around this church. I'm just not sure I'm in shape. But I love this because the Bible said they got there. And when they got there, expecting to fight, they didn't have to fight. But because their enemies were already dead, their tents were all still set up. So the first guy went and peeked into a tent. He said, hold up, they left gold and silver in here. They left precious metals over here. They left gemstones over here. They left pure armor over here. It's not been touched. Here's weapons over here. So the Bible said all the ones that expected to fight just started picking up the treasure and turn around walking it back home. And they didn't just walk one trip. The Bible said from sun up to sundown, they walked for 3 days. I feel the Holy Ghost in here. They walked for 3 days carrying the blessing of heaven back to their camp. What their enemy brought to kill them with, God put it back in their hand. What I'm telling you is this. Whatever stood to oppose your life before tonight, get ready because it's going to fall flat in front of your face and you're going to spend days carrying the blessing of God back to your house. You're getting ready to overflow in the glory of God, in the power of God, in the wealth of God, in the peace of God, in the joy of God. If you believe it, shout amen. So here's what we're going to do because I don't want to miss one person. Accidentally missed one person last night, but I don't want to miss one because God's got something for everybody. Everybody. So to make it easy for all of us, once you've sown your seed, I want you to start right here by my Bible and form one line, wrap it around if you have to. You're going to face this direction. And as you know that we do, you're going to come right across the altar. I'm going to lay my hands upon you tonight and impart the fire of God. Somebody say, his power, his glory. And we're going to end praising God and receiving an impartation of the Holy Ghost tonight. I want you to lift your offering to the Lord where you're standing and declare this by faith. From this night forward, I'll not be the same. My seed of obedience is taking me higher into a new level of overflow. From this night forward,
Whatever I touch will be blessed. Wherever I go, I'll be blessed. Now say this, my children will not have to experience the same struggles that I went through. They'll surpass me in the blessing of God. My grandchildren will not struggle. They'll surpass me, and they'll surpass my kids. And the blessing of God will go to 1,000 generations because of His loving kindness. Now, as I sow my seed, I ask angels, go get my harvest. Bring it back to my house. For there's work to be done for the kingdom of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Those of you watching on Facebook, you can sow right in the comments section, hashtag donate, or at miracleword.com. Those of you that are ready to sow, come on and bring an offering to the Lord tonight, and then begin to line up at the altar. Come on, guys, let's sing something. Monday night. It's good to see every one of you. I love you. How many of you are blessed tonight? Shout amen.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, I'm so excited to see what God's about to do at this church within the next few months. We're going higher in Jesus' name. We're going higher in Jesus' name. Oh. Pastor. Playing it. I just heard the Holy Ghost say something, if you don't mind me saying it. Do you mind me saying it? Whatever was hard for the vision of this house is about to become easy. In Jesus' name. Whatever was hard is about to become easy. Whatever used to be a struggle is going to become laughable. You and Pastor Rhonda, you'll look back and you'll say to each other, can you believe we used to actually have to figure that out? Whatever used to be hard is about to become easy. For God's putting a supernatural strength on you like you've never seen. A supernatural strength that's coming upon you. And I'm telling you, you're going to lead this body of believers
into a whole new realm of faith and victory that they've never known and this house has never seen. I'm telling you, and I've said this before, not here maybe, but you look around at these people that are in here on a Monday night, it'll take this right here as leaders to handle the next level. This right here, what you're seeing in the house, this will be a Monday night leadership meeting right here. It'll take this. You don't hear what I'm prophesying tonight. But what I'm telling you is that God's going to expedite the vision of this house to the place it'll take these people to actually work the vision. So many are coming in to be saved by the power of God. There's going to be a growth like you've never seen. And if you thought God's done good things before now, get ready. I tell you, get ready. You ain't seen nothing yet. Baby, oh, you ain't seen nothing yet. And this truly will be something that you never will forget. I promise you. Mark it down in your spiritual journal. God's getting ready to take us into a place where we'll have to run to keep up with the vision in Jesus' mighty name. So get ready. It's getting ready to become easy in Jesus' name. Lift your hands all over the house. Father, thank you for your precious people. As we lay our hands upon them tonight, whatever harassed them before tonight, I rebuke it in the mighty name of Jesus. As we lay our hands upon them, I pray that the anointing of God will flow through their bodies, flow through their minds, flow through their homes, their children, their relationships, and their finances. Let this be a night that the power of God comes upon your people and the glory of God comes upon their families. And from this night forward, we declare total victory in the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe it, shout aloud, amen. Come on, sing it again.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. My God is a giving God. Yes, he is. My God is a giving God. Yes, he is.
Oh, yes,
yes,
he is. Yes, he is.
Come on.
Yes, he is.
My God is a good, good God.
Yes, he is.
My God is a good, good God.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
My God is a good, good God.
Yes, he is.
My God is a good, good God.
Yes, he is.
My God is a good, good God.
Yes.
Yes, he is. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Oh, lift up a shout of praise. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. 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 Hey. Every hand lifted high, Father, we thank you for all that you're doing this week. Thank you for blessing your people. Thank you for touching us tonight. Lord, as we come back here tomorrow at 7 o'clock, I pray the windows of heaven open over this church one more time. Take us into this next dimension of what you have planned for us. We thank you. We give you praise. And we give you glory. In Jesus' name, if you believe it, shout aloud, amen.
Amen.
Turn to somebody next to you on the way out. Tell them you're on another level. And we'll see you tomorrow night. Oh, there's power, power, wonder-working power
in the love.